This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Tex and Jill with you once again from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. We've just listened to Romanofsky and Phillips with their song, If There Is a God, He's a Queen. We have to say a big thank you to the Been There, Done That team, Gordon and Bill tonight for another great show. Jill, my dear, how are you?
I'm so well because I'm doing a show with you. It's been about 2 weeks, actually. It hasn't been very long at all.
No, it hasn't been too long.
How are you? You've been busying yourself with the, the full title
I'll say
is,
it.
As I know you
the
said.
Melbourne Gay Community Periodic Survey 2011.
There we go.
Which is that survey which so many men, and I would like to say thank you to all the men who filled in the survey from Midsummer Carnival up till this last Monday. So there were people in sex on premises venues and pubs and clinics, the Northside Clinic and the Centre Clinic in St Kilda, filling in the forms so that we can get a picture, a snapshot of what's happening here in Melbourne during that particular week of Midsummer. And the survey's been done since 1988, so we're getting a good flow through of getting the information about what's happening, what's changing, the evolution, if you like, of HIV, sexually transmitted infections, and how men interact with those issues.
It's very pretty essential good. Stuff, isn't it?
But how are you? Good?
I'm good. I'm very well, Tex.
Did you have a happy Australia Day?
I did. Yes, it was good. What did you get up to?
Indeed. I went to the Joy Australia Day picnic up at Mount Macedon.
You did indeed.
And as we arrived, we drove into a cloud, as in the mountains or the clouds were coming down the mountain. But by the time we got into the beautiful gardens at Forest Glade at Mount Macedon, absolutely beautiful gardens. The sun was out. Well, almost. It wasn't cold.
It was giving it a red hot go, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
it wasn't
cold. We had a lovely picnic and there were lots of Joy people there having gorgeous picnics.
Which is always nice. Yeah. Now, Tex, tell me and the listener, what's on the show this evening?
Well, tonight we're going to be chatting with Max and Miles about a new DVD dealing with the survival of childhood sexual attack. And we're going to be discussing what that's all about and the work that Max does at the Southeast Centre Against Sexual Assault. We're also going to have a look at a few news snippets, as we like to do, and then later on we'll be chatting about events happening around town. But Jill, as always, we love to hear from our listener. Usually a few options. How can the listener get in contact with us?
Well, funny you should say that, Tex, because there are actually a few options this evening as well.
Oh.
You can call us on 1300-JOY-949 and hear the lovely Gordon, or you can email onair@joy.org.au and we get that right here in the studio, or you can send an SMS to 0427-JOY-949.
That's right. It's time for us to read a few snippets of news that we've picked up over the internet and other places. So it's when we shuffle our papers.
We do.
For our news desk. And we'll move straight on with the first story. And this is something which Jason, our co-host, alerted us to. And it's from the website AIDSMAP, AIDSMAP, AIDSMAP.com. Fantastic site, as we keep on saying every week, to find great information about HIV and other sexually transmitted infections and interaction with society. The first snippet of news, or the first news story we've got to talk about tonight, is headed HIV testing should be promoted in school sex education classes and on Facebook. And it's a report which was written by Martin Holt from the National Centre in HIV Social Research and his colleagues, and it's recently been published in the online edition of AIDS and Behaviour. And basically what they're saying is in order to reach Australian gay and bisexual men who've never been tested for HIV, it's not rocket science, but they're saying innovative methods will have to be developed. They go on to say that health messages delivered through gay community outreach, which can be people talking to other people in gay venues, but it can also be newspapers, and organisations like Joy and Channel 31, And by clinicians, so health messages delivered through the normal, if you like, gay community means and through clinicians tend to only reach men who have already had a HIV test.
Mm.
So the difficult thing is to reach those people who aren't connected to the community, to the gay community, who may not read the newspapers, listen to Joy, watch Channel 31, or even look on websites, specific websites targeted to the gay community. So a survey was conducted, and it was called the E-mail survey. That's E-M-A-L-E, so email survey. And it was promoted through a variety of different places like websites, adverts and links on relevant websites, promotion by gay and HIV organisations, flyers in gay venues, adverts in the gay media, and also adverts in the personal, adult or classified sections of local newspapers, which...
It's quite clever.
It's quite clever, and it's been used by a number of organisations over the years to actually target people who aren't necessarily hooked into the gay community. A total of 3,457 men took part in this survey. And the analysis that was done excluded men who'd ever been tested for HIV. So it was looking for people who hadn't been tested. So excluding the people who had been and looking at what the people were saying who had never been tested.
Mm.
You know, why they hadn't been tested. You know, what were the barriers to testing? So a really interesting survey looked at a comparison between Australia and the United Kingdom about whether our messages are any more relevant or if they're getting through to targeted communities. And it's this is just an initial report. So it's, if you like, it's flagging this report. It's something I'd like to cover a bit more in detail later on, and not later on tonight, but later on during the year, when some more data has come out of the report. But if people do want to follow it and see what the report is talking about, just go to that website, AIDSMAP.com.
Good. Mm. Good stuff, Tex. It's a very, some of the initial findings were very, very interesting. Yep. So, yeah, it'll be good to see some of that in more detail.
Okie doke. Now, our second story is out of New South Wales. And this is a complaint which has been lodged in New South Wales, actually been lodged with the New South Wales Police, over a booklet that's been produced by ACON. Now, ACON were formerly known as the AIDS Council of New South Wales. Now they're just known as ACON, because for most people connected to the community in New South Wales, they know that it means AIDS Council. And, of course, they have moved their scope from just being an organisation that deals with HIV and sexually transmitted infections into a more gay and lesbian health organisation. So dealing with all different sorts of issues.
Mm-hmm.
This particular issue is a booklet which shows the safest ways to take illegal drugs or illicit drugs, recreational drugs. As we mentioned quite often here on Joy, we don't condone the use of illegal drugs or illicit drugs, but we do recognise that people use them. So if they do, it's best that they know how to use them safely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Tex. Because essentially what happened was, my understanding is that, so ACON brought out this booklet, and it is fairly, it goes into quite a bit of detail in terms of how to inject safely, and if you're snorting drugs, it advises you to alternate nostrils and to rinse the nostrils out after snorting. Now, this person has come along and said, this is an absolute outrage. And he said, can we say his name? It was in The Age. So
it was in The Age, yes. His name is Gary Burns, and he has made complaints and concerns in the media over the years, usually about homophobic rantings of journalists. But in this instance, he's attacking, if you like, a gay and lesbian organisation with what he sees as outrageous use of taxpayers' money.
Yeah, that's his big issue, that this is an absolute waste. Now, appears to me that this young Mr. Burns doesn't know a great deal on the face of it. I don't know what his role in society is in terms of if he works or what sort of line of work he does. But to say that he made a statement to ACON saying they're aiding and abetting illegal drug use, and he was also concerned that there was nothing to stop younger teenagers from downloading the booklet and killing themselves.
Mm.
I just think it's, if you know anything about harm minimisation, people are basically have got more risk of killing themselves if they don't know how to do something wrong than if they know how to do it properly. If,
yep.
I mean, and there is a right way and a wrong way to inject drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condoning it, and I'm not saying that it's, you know, something we should all do tomorrow night, but it is something that you have to face facts and say, well, this is going to happen. How can we ensure that this is done as safely as possible so that perhaps, who knows, in a week's time, that same person could say, you know what, I've kind of had enough of this, I want to give it up. They're still alive to be able to make that choice.
That's right. Indeed. I mean, it's an...
I could rant a lot longer.
I know, you could, darling.
It's a
very contentious issue, and it's an issue that's going to get people talking. I'd suggest people go online and have a look online. Just type in ACON drug booklet or ACON Gary Burns drug booklet, and you'll get heaps of information about it. Basically, he's saying that the ACON is going beyond its scope and is producing resources which will allow people to kill themselves. I actually think ACON have actually designed a booklet. I haven't seen the booklet myself, but it sounds like it's a really good booklet which gives people concise and correct information and gives people choice.
Yeah.
And that's what we go on about quite a bit here, choice. In the studio, joining Jill and I, are Max and Miles. They've come in to chat with us about a new DVD that deals with the journeys of men who have experienced childhood sexual attack. I think this is Miles' first time in the studio with us, but Max, we've had in the studio before. So, Miles, good day, welcome aboard, and Max, great to have you back.
And I'll just turn your microphones on so we can actually hear what you're saying.
Thank you. Cheers, thanks.
Oh, yeah, now we can. Now, look, while we've asked you to join us tonight to chat about this exciting new project that you've both been involved with and the DVD launch, it's been a while since we've had you on, Max. So perhaps you could start with an explanation of what CASAs are, or Centres Against Sexual Assault, and where they're located around Victoria.
We all call it CASA, and I know it sounds a bit strange when it doesn't spell that way.
That's
Centres
right.
Against Sexual Assault.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 16 over Victoria, and we have a sexual assault crisis line that provides a 24-hour service. So during the day, you ring the number, it'll go to the nearest CASA. So if you're in Echuca, it'll speak to Bendigo. After hours, they would be organising that.
Mm-hmm.
Four of the CASAs managed to have male workers, which is very nice.
Yep.
Otherwise, it was started by the feminists some 35 years ago or something, and it was very much looking after women, and in some cases a bit seen as women looking after women. They're all funded to talk with men, and where they have a male worker, men are asked, would you like to speak to a male or a female?
Well, that's very fantastic that you give them, that option, because I can imagine. Well, that kind of, you know, brings me to the next question. Are men victims of sexual assault, and the need there is as much as it is for women?
Yes. Look, any sexual assault statistics are a bit like that iceberg. We know a little bit about the top, but there's an awful lot unreported, a bit like domestic violence and so on. But there's some quite reliable statistics that would say one in six males before 18 has had some sort of unwanted sexual activity.
One in six, that's phenomenal.
Yep. And we say about one in four, maybe even one in three women. So it means an incredible percentage of the population have had some... Thank God it doesn't mean they've all been raped, but there's been activity that they weren't giving consent to.
That's
really amazing. Now, Max, you've mentioned that I think it was four of the Centres Against Sexual Assault have male workers.
They do.
When people rock up to a centre, they don't actually rock up. When people arrive at the centre, Do they expect to talk to a woman counsellor? Is it the expectation that a woman will be the counsellor they talk to? Are men more likely to want to speak to women? Are women happy speaking to men?
A lot of questions.
Yep, you can take whichever one you like.
There's some been research, and I've been talking to a man in South Yorkshire and also in Brisbane. Gary Forster's doing some work about people who've been sexual assault victims expecting they should be talking to women rather than talking to men. At our centre, men are given the choice, and probably 85-90% of the men choose to speak with a woman. Is that because they expect that they'll feel more comfortable, they'd be embarrassed to talk to a man about what happened? Mum was a woman and they're used to talking to women. Do they think counsellors are women?
Mm.
Is the perception that counsellors are by for women? And so therefore that's where they're sort of thinking it. Women at Bendigo, everybody at Bendigo asks, do you want to see a male or a female? And that male worker does see quite a number of females. And I've, in my 13 years, probably seen 30 or 40 women to I don't know how many hundreds of men. So it's usually those women have to be particularly wanting to. And I've just had a new client the other week who, when she was, you know, explained, well, we've got an appointment and you'll see Mary or whoever it was. I'm talking to a man, I'm not talking to any woman. So there are times when women can be quite determined. Is there something about having a positive experience with a male who is sympathetic and empathetic and working, helping her overcome some of those fears? I agree many women couldn't speak to a male. And maybe not initially, but later on they might be comfortable enough to have a positive experience with a male who is not putting them at any risk.
Now, I suppose somebody, either a man or a woman, as we've just discussed, or maybe even a younger person, contacts a CASA. What is the process that they go through? For example, do you immediately get on the blower and phone the police and say, oh, my God, there's somebody here who's been...
Probably 60% of the people who come to a centre against sexual assault are what we would say historic abuse. So it's happened any number of years ago. And we will see people from verbal skills of about 5 to a week before they fall off the perch. And I visited a gentleman in a nursing home who was feeling really guilty. He didn't support his daughter and he was about 86. So we have the whole range. So the historic ones would usually ring a centre, speak and then be put through to the duty worker. We have a woman who sits at Monash Medical Centre, and only the women do duty, which is interesting. And that would, the details would be taken and explaining what is happening. If it was a very recent assault, then that's when we would be organising and the police would usually be informed. If they rang at 2 o'clock in the morning to the sexual assault crisis line, then the worker there would be ringing the CASA saying, have you got a counsellor advocate to go into the hospital? The police, will you go in? Forensic medical, will you go in? We'd like anybody to take a forensic medical. Then you've got the evidence if it does go to court. You can't come back 4 weeks later and say, I want a medical. There's nothing there. But if people have had it and they do manage to have a forensic medical within 72 hours, there can be useful evidence.
Yeah.
So many people will not report to the police. And we understand that's a whole process that may take quite a time for them to be comfortable. But it's good if there might have been the forensic, if it was there to collect.
Yeah.
Now, Max, I recently saw you in particular, at Midsummer Carnival. And you were at the stand or the stall for the Centres Against Sexual Assault. What sort of reach do you have into the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer questioning community? See, I know I've said it so often I can say it quickly. So is it just that we expect to see you at Midsummer Carnival, or is there a reach further into the community, gay and lesbian community? Let's just keep it easy.
Yes, it varies from CASA to CASA. Southeast CASA, when they were getting male workers, part of the objective was to have better services for men to the Koorie community, to the psych community and to the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a boss who has done a lot of work in promoting that. She goes, as I think you'll remember, texts around the sex on premises venues because there are newbies who don't necessarily have activity they're giving consent to and we want the staff to be sensitive to looking after them if that's more has happened than they were really wanting to happen. She has also been a patron of Pride since it started. So we pay our $500 and we're on every document that says the CASA's there. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, Carolyn at the moment is chairman or convener of all of the CASAs that meet once a month to actually try and have a similar policy over the state. And therefore she gets onto a lot of ministerial committees and other important places. When she's quite impressed when people say, I saw CASA in the Pride March, didn't I? So we have a nice new banner, I think last year, which first one was very nice and made and very good craft work. We have a much bigger one now that says no more silence about violence, because most of the CASAs do some domestic violence work in the evenings for people who need support then, apart from the sexual assault. So it's no violence at all.
Fantastic. Now, Max, is the CASA or CASAs in general, are they online? And if so, yeah. Where? And also, who contacts you in that sort of manner?
Well, I think I'd be right in saying all CASAs have a website. Many of them are quite small in the sense that it says where they are, where they go out to. Bendigo, for instance, has outreach to Maryborough, Echuca, Kyneton, apart from being in Bendigo. But CASA's website has at least 20,000 plus hits a month.
A month.
My goodness.
And that's the new ones because of those little cookies and all sorts of other things technical people will understand. So they have a lot. They can tell how many PDFs are downloaded, how much is printed up. There's an incredible amount of stuff that goes through there. We can tell whether it's suddenly Wisconsin in the US has had a lecturer who said that's a good website and there's hundreds coming through from there. Another time it's someone in Scotland. At one stage at 4 a.m. it was all Korea.
That's amazing,
so
isn't it?
It's really amazing. It has a huge website. The other CASAs, it's a bit silly reinventing the wheel. There's a really good one they can refer to.
My goodness.
And we've now introduced a CASA Kids, which was particularly written into, well, hope, I was going to say, I don't want to say childish language, but in young people's language, because somebody in one of the questionnaires on there had said, oh, it was sort of there, but it was all written for old people. I'm 14. And so there was, again, an outreach to sakazakids.com.au.
Max, I'd like to move on and say and ask you about the annual retreat. You have an annual retreat for male survivors of sexual assault. Now, I believe by being involved in this retreat, this has led to a few men wanting to film their stories, to share their stories.
Exactly. This year, come July, will be the fifth retreat we've had. We call them Victims No Longer, and it's Mike Lew, a man in Boston, wrote a book, Victims No Longer, the classic guide to men recovery from childhood sexual abuse. And so many of the men have found that really, really helpful because it goes through in a progression so often the way they see the questions they've been asking in their recovery. It wants people to get in to talk to someone. So it's about getting them to follow through to break the silence, break the isolation, understand they can talk with other men, have somebody else say, I know what it felt like, and they know that's the truth they have. Fortunately, most of our counsellors haven't been abused, and we can't say that. So this has been happening each year, and the last year or so, it was, I wish we could tell other men about this and help them or invite them to come to Victims No Longer. So the men got together and spent a lot of time working out how and what that would be. And we interviewed 8 men for well over an hour. We went up to Malden, did a lot of filming. And the producer was very impressed when her friend said, how many takes did that take? And she could say, oh, we didn't repeat any. We got them all first time. So the filmmakers, they sort of go, wow.
Yeah.
Miles was a very good first assistant director who did great script running, and we ran all over Malden and filmed bits in the campsite that we use. And then the interviews were done down in Melbourne, and there's some other add-in bits, you know, walking into police stations and courthouses and stuff that men were there. So we've had 8 men who are 6 men who are quite prominently featured in Back on Track, which is what we're calling it. They're getting their lives back on track.
Okay. Well, can you go into a little bit more detail about exactly what the film covers? I mean, is it those men telling their stories?
Yes.
Is that essentially it?
In various ways, it's different people about what it meant for their life, how their life was ruined, what were the things that helped them back together. One of the older men talks about how it took 26 years in his marriage to tell his wife or children, and his daughter said, where do you go away? Oh, it's a weekend. What's this weekend about? Oh, it's a men's group. Well, what do the men do at the group? It's a men who were abused sexually as children.
Wow.
It was his daughter. He had always said, I will never lie to my children.
Yeah.
Mm. And later he could tell his wife, who can say, I couldn't have understood it or coped years ago. I now know that I can support him. And brilliantly, the two of them came to America as the International Male Survivors, and we spoke about a workshop we did all day for couples. The partner is, in effect, a victim of sexual assault.
Yeah. Yep.
How they relate, what triggers things, the most erratic things that we can't imagine, can trigger memories and so on.
Mm.
And so the partners are with someone who's living in my eggshells sort of thing until they can, and now they're able to talk about it.
Perhaps now's a good time to introduce Miles to our discussion. Miles, welcome aboard again.
Thank you.
Perhaps you can share with us and our listener a little of your story, if you like, from then till now.
I was abused by a scout master who became a sailing coach when I was... the grooming started about 9 or 10, the abuse started about 11. I went through to late teens. It wasn't until I was mid-20s that I realised that I had to do something about it, because you bury all this sort of stuff. You're encouraged to bury it. The perpetrator, for example, wants the secret to be kept.
Of course.
Through all sorts of different threats. His resolve was that he'd kill himself if anyone found out about it. No one would understand, and all the rest of it. It was about mid-20s that I sort of had a bit of a crisis. I had no money, no job, and I fell into a bit of a heap. Was encouraged by other people to just get over it, move on. I'd already tried that many times in many places. And luckily, I sort of found my way to Sakaza, and actually was suggested, I rang up and got that information through Centrelink, as it was, and they suggested that I would speak to Max. I remember feeling unsure anyway to call up, and then whether or not I'd feel comfortable talking with a male about it. But they assured me that, you know, he was good, and it was great. It's been fantastic having someone who understands and allows you to express all the different things that you go through. And it does take time. I mean, it was 2004 when I started sort of speaking about this to Max. I then went overseas for a few years due to lack of support or lack of understanding and needing to regenerate myself, if you like. Met a wonderful girl over there and came back with her 2 years ago, and then started again counselling and police action towards getting the perpetrator arrested. And as we said before about the Victims No Longer Weekend, when I was first... I had that suggested to me, as everything in this process, it scared me witless to begin with. But by going through the process, you start to trust in the suggestions that are given to you by people who know the subject. And going to the Malden Weekend was just amazing, to have so many just beautiful spirits. They're just the most caring and amazing people who have suffered so much and are still so kind and generous and just soldier on, basically, you know, go through absolute hell. And you can, like Max said, unless you've experienced it, it's really hard for somebody to understand, and even for yourself, especially, to understand the extent of it, because you bury it a lot, and there's many different things that affect, in many different ways, all facets of your life. So to be able to talk to other people about it has been really good, and that's where the idea of the documentary came from, in the fact that the fear that we all had about going to Malden, or about talking about it, about opening up, about recovering ourselves, we could only imagine that everyone else in the same situation would have that same fear and trepidation. So if we can express that, and we can talk about the passage of time or the journey that we've taken to get to where we are, and we're continuing on, that might help, you know, grease the wheels of recovery for other people, to try and tell them that there's help out there and they can really, you know, benefit from, you know, looking after themselves and, you know, getting themselves back on track, if you like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a really great title for the DVD, because essentially what you're doing, you're wanting to do, is to put yourself back on the track where you're not the victim.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, your life sort of gets hijacked halfway through. I mean, you know, I was doing well at school. I was winning races sailing. I was, you know, I got quite good marks at school and went to university, but I had this guy threatening to commit suicide because I didn't want to sort of be a part of it anymore and needed my own life. And, you know, I didn't finish uni. I've had 80-odd different jobs. You know, I just got a boat last year and won my first sailing race on Saturday. So that was really good. And it's about trying to recover your life. It's almost as if there's a path that you've been walking along and then you get taken off it, and trying to get back to the real you, your core, and being able to walk back, you know, just to be the real you, because you get a lot of, you take on a lot of crap that the other person has thrown on you. All their crap, all their depression, all their guilt, all their shame, all of that pretty much gets dumped on the victim, and you take it as it's your fault, it's your shame. And to be able to get rid of that and then see where you're at and where you want to be, you're actually, instead of fighting yourself backwards and forwards between where you've been put and where you want to be, you start realizing that, well, you can let go of where you've been put and move towards where you want to be.
Now, Max, I believe you have an open invitation for people who are interested in coming along to the launch of this DVD. How do they get involved, and how, I suppose really importantly, how do they RSVP?
Please, the website we were talking about, the W's SECASA, secasa.com.au, is a little penguin. You click on that for what's on, and I think the second item is Back on Track DVD launch, and there's details there. There's a little trailer of about 4 minutes that has some of the men talking, and then there's a website that there's an address to reply to. The main lecture hall at Monash Hospital in Clayton Road, seats 314, and we'll take 50 standing, and we hope it'll be people outside in the corridor.
Yep.
So it's 6 o'clock on Wednesday the 23rd of February. We'd like to know, so we know how many to expect and how many drinks and sandwiches to put out at 6 o'clock. The DVD will be shown at 5:30. It's just over 30 minutes, and then there will be cast and crew who will be taking questions and answers to talk about how we did it, what the process was, and what it meant for the men.
And Max, can I just ask a very quick but I think important question? I know we're really, really, really running out of time, but women can go to this event
as well.
It's not just for men.
Yep. Exactly. Quite a number. We would welcome any clinicians. We would welcome any men. We will have a lot of our counsellors there, because it's going to hit some buttons, I'm sure, and there will be a lot of people there for them to talk to. And four or five of the Bendigo staff are coming down, and they're saying, can we bring our clients? And I had to think, well, of course, it's for the men. It's for a client. Yeah. Please bring them. So we're hoping that it will be a good educational tool for counsellors who are coming across men. Quite often people can be depressed. They don't know quite where it's coming from, and they mightn't say it. And then eventually it comes out. So, I mean, the work I do in London Prison, the men will often have counselling, and then it will come back to what's the issue behind all of this, and then the counsellors will refer them on to me. So it often, men don't quite want to say what it is. It doesn't happen to them. Yeah. One of the men on the doco says, oh, no, I'm a tough bloke. I've been to jail for driving offences. Oh, nothing's happened to me. And then he realised why he was in tears with his counsellor. Yes.
Miles and Max, I'd like to thank you both for coming in. Very difficult topic to talk about, but really important topic to share. The information to share with our listener, and to share with us, Jill and I. We will be not flogging it to death, but we will be flogging we'll be flogging it, but not flogging
it
to death.
I'll just hold it up to the microphone.
Yes, if you hold it up to the microphone, it's a lovely picture.
Back on track, there's two men walking up the hill at Malden. It's the Blue Light Youth Camp, and they're walking there, and on the backside it is the invite. It's much the same as on the website, that please, secasa.com.au.
Well, we'll grab some of those from you.
So that's SECASA. com.au, and then when you're on the site, look for the little penguin and click on the penguin.
Yep. What's up?
Okie doke. Thank you very much for joining us,
guys.
And we look forward to talking to you again in the future. And Miles, cheers. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We've had a couple of messages in. First of all, we had a message in from Dean saying, it's great to hear well talking openly and honestly about injecting drug use. Which is nice. We quite often talk openly about injecting drug use. We don't, as we have said previously, we at the Victorian AIDS Council and here at Joy don't condone the use of recreational or illegal or illicit drugs, but we do believe that if people are going to use them anyway, they should know how to use them safely. We've also had a message from John, who we were talking in the beginning of the show, we were talking about injecting drug use, and then we talked about the concerns with the AIDS Council of New South Wales, or as it's now known, ACON. And the message says, of course you will give support to the ACON stance. You are part of the taxpayer-funded organisation that needs a complete clean out of staff. Time to give others a go. Thank you, John. Thanks for your comment and opinion. I believe you're referring to us as employees of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, needing to be completely cleaned out.
Well, we do encourage feedback.
Oh, we do.
By saying that, we always have to say, okay, when we're aware that it's not always going to be.
Oh, indeed.
You guys are doing the most amazing job ever.
No, so. They can't all get it right. So, they're wonderful messages. Thanks for the messages. And please, as always, do keep the messages coming in. Jillie, we have... Jill, we have a couple of messages of things to talk about. And look, I thought what we might talk about first is mooning.
Oh, let's.
Because it's coming up next. Mooning is happening on Saturday, the 29th of January. It's happening at the Laird Hotel in Abbotsford from 9 p.m. But what on earth does mooning mean? Well, mooning is a tradition in Melbourne. It's this is about the 21st or the 22nd year of mooning, midsummer mooning. And mooning is a bare ass competition. There's no other way of putting it. It's a bare ass competition where men show off one of their best assets. In mooning nowadays, they get to show both sides of the assets. So there's a wet jock competition as well. It's a fundraiser for the David Williams Fund at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. $10 to get in. You can get your tickets from midsummer.org.au, or you can go to the Laird Hotel's website, which is really easy. Laird, L-A-I-R-D, Laird Hotel, or one word, .com. Those with tickets get in first. There will be a queue, so although it's due to kick off about 9 p.m, I'd suggest you get there around 8, if not before. Very popular night.
Tex, can I ask though, you just said you have the opportunity, or a participant would have the opportunity to show off both assets, as you affectionately refer to them as. What if you like one of your assets and you're happy to show that off, not so keen on the other asset?
Well, the
do
thing
you
is,
have the option to
no,
hide
no. I think
one
everybody,
of the assets?
Everybody has to show front and back.
Both assets.
But with the front assets, those are encased behind your jock, underwear,
yes.
jockette.
Yes, okay.
Some of the more forward may slip them down to get an extra cheer, but really it's to have the water pistol shot onto the, and I'm doing the finger action on the water pistol here, so I'm aiming it at you, Jill.
Lovely.
And to squirt onto the fabric and to show off the assets. Indeed. It's a fun, light-hearted competition. It usually attracts about 10 guys as competitors. They get a trophy. They all get show bags from the Victorian AIDS Council, show bags from one of the sponsors, TitanMen.com. But, yeah, it's a fun night out.
And who's emceeing at this year, Tex?
Well, it's being emceed by Mr. Laird Leather, 2010, Neil. Oh, and by me.
Would you look at that?
Indeed. I used to MC it many, many years ago. Lots of fun. Always wear latex gloves. Never know where those asses have been.
Or any other number of assets.
Yeah, or any other number
might,
of assets.
Might or might
indeed.
Not be on show. You have to go along to check it out.
Now, Jill, what will we talk about next, do you think?
I don't know, Tex. What would you like to talk about? I think you've got something to hand.
I have indeed. We have had over the years one of the counsellors from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre on the show, Trish Thompson. And Trish is running another one of her very successful groups. And this group is called the Revisioning Group. It's a therapeutic group for men who are dealing with issues around the use of anger and violence in their relationships. So, for example, if people around you make you feel angry and frustrated, Do you hurt people you care about? Are you finding it hard to express your feelings without exploding? Or perhaps feeling anxious and confused about your behaviour? Well, the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre's counselling services team run a group for gay and bisexual men called Revisioning. And this is where you can learn about breaking the patterns of controlling and abusive behaviours. The group intends to build your confidence and self-control, helping you to deal constructively with conflicts and difficult emotions in your relationships and in other parts of your life. It's a 10-week group, so it goes over 10 weeks. It's going to begin in late February. If you'd like more information, you can call 9865 6700. Really importantly here, between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So 9865 6700 between 2 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday to Friday, and ask to speak to the duty worker. And you'll be able to find out more information and to find out whether this group is a group for you.
And I believe that group's run a few times now, oh, it has, which yes. does demonstrate its popularity and its need and its effectiveness as yeah. well.
Yes, look, it's a very effective group.
Indeed it is.
Okay, so have you got something for me,
Jill? I do. I have to share with the listener that I lost all my bits of papers and I've just found them again. Okay. So getting on with it again, tips for ageing with HIV. Now, we have talked about this a couple of times on the show. You are invited to a complimentary dinner forum to discuss how to manage ageing with HIV. And as we've discussed on numerous times on Well, 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 mm-hmm. This is an increasingly focused upon topic.
Yeah,
I don't indeed. Want to say problematic, but it's being looked at from a myriad of angles at the moment, and mm-hmm. with new studies that are coming out in various parts of the world. So I dare say a lot of that will be discussed and looked at. And the evening is on Tuesday, 1st of February, at 6:30. Seating is very limited, so RSVP is essential.
Now, Jill, okay, a lot of people sitting around talking about, oh dear, we're ageing with HIV. Are there any guest speakers?
There are, actually. Funny you should ask. Dr. Norm Roth will be chatting, Ross Duffin and Jenny McDonald. So if you are interested in attending, we would thoroughly encourage you to call 9865 6772. That's 9865 6772. But guess what, Tex? We are totally and utterly out of time. So we are going to have to wrap things up here. Do you have?
Yeah, no, a message that we will deal with next week on the show. It's a bit too difficult to deal with it right now. I'd like to thank Andrew for sending the message in. And Andrew, if you can listen next week, we'll be dealing with it on the show next week. Because the time has come
when it's time to say goodbye.
So we won't do that dreadful song, Time to Say Goodbye, because it just takes too long to sing. I'd like to remind everybody, though, about the Sakasa website. We were talking to Max and Miles. The website is Sakasa, secasa.com.au. Sakasa, secasa.com.au. And once you're on the website, click on the penguin and you'll be able to find out about that DVD launch. Coming up next, of course, is Theme Party tonight. It's a celebrity show.
Ooh la la.
With Miss Glenda Waverley, or Ms. Glenda Waverley, I believe she likes to be known as. And that'll be followed by Hide and Seek at 10 p.m. where they talk about all the types of issues sexual. Anyone you want to say hello to?
Harry.
Okay. G'day, Harry, my partner. G'day to Warren and to Deb and to you, our listener, and thank you for being with us now. But we'll be back next week here on Joy 94.9, 8 o'clock, with more of Well, Well, Well. Cheers, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.